You thought Millard, Kiprios, and McLean worked a lot already. Now they'll work anytime you want. Subscribe to the Hockey Central Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. We packed you a lunch that packs a punch. This is Hockey Central at Noon on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Introed on the radio side by the Tragically Hip, our best and thoughts and prayers going out to Gord Downey. Inoperable, incurable brain tumor. They will go out on tour, the Tragically Hip, but sad news from the Canadian arts scene today. Darren Millard here on the Hockey Central at Noon, joined by Gord Stellick and Scott Morrison in the Hockey Central studio. Plenty to get to today. I know we're down to two series on the Stanley Cup side of thing. The MasterCard Memorial Cup continues. I'm owning it. I will not shy away from this. I could have got out of today's show. I could have easily skated due to a situation going on with my kid. I said, no, the kid comes second today because I have to be on the air to own this. So, kid, I'm sorry, but this is about standing up and taking ownership of things. Let's start
a
with
a life lesson. What yes. A dad.
Mm-hmm. Your well-being takes a backseat to me, offering
and
a life
bad
lesson.
Hockey predictions.
And not shying away from things. Oh, yeah, Tragically Hip and the Wheat Kings, they go hand in hand. We'll also check in on what's going to happen tonight between Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay. Get to the very latest there. Evgeny Malkin, in a roundabout way, guaranteeing a win, saying that they will end up back in Pittsburgh. But the game of note happened last night between San Jose and St. Louis. And with all the back and forth between the coaches in this series, that's been interesting. But also the back and forth with Ken Hitchcock's decisions on his lineup. And did as much as it worked in game four, did it backfire last night?
You talk about the goaltender
yes.
specifically? You know, I look at the goals, and to me it wasn't like, say, Marc-Andre Fleury in the Pittsburgh game where you thought there were some, you know, a lot of pretty ordinary goals. So I wouldn't say that alone was a reason to backfire. I think you got a safety net now going back to Brian Elliott. So I'm going to say no. He made the change to shake things up. It wasn't like during the season there was a clear number one like Marc-Andre Fleury is in Pittsburgh. For a while, you thought Jake Allen would be the starter, right?
But nobody thinks Jake Allen's going to start the elimination game.
I would think not, but now you can go back to it, and that's your safety guard. I mean, the San Jose Sharks are a hell of a team, and Ken Hitchcock, whatever coaching he's done, has got them further than the team has ever got when he's the coach in St. Louis. So, you know, he's pushed more positive than negative buttons right now.
Yeah, I mean, when he put Allen in, that was a change, and he felt like his team needed a jolt, and whether they got it or not, they got a good goaltending effort that night. But he also changed his lines that night, and I think that had a bigger impact because I didn't think Brian Elliott was the reason they were in the situation
they
were.
Score.
I think the goaltending was equal. I don't think the change improved the goaltending by any stretch, and it didn't hurt it either. And looking back at last night, I don't think that's a goalie loss by any stretch.
Both goaltenders had troubles.
Yeah, they had some issues, but
they were a team tied 2-2 when they should have been down 3-1. So, you know, in a series you're getting outplayed, I know you're behind now, but tied it up. And at the end of the day, your best players have to be your best players, And Vladimir Tarasenko has to be one of their best
players.
Where's
he gone? What's happened?
Well, they had a child, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, that quite often is a life-altering move. I'm not putting it on that. I'm just saying that's quite a change in your life. Otherwise, I mean, this guy's like Ovechkin, kind of. I mean, this guy is one of those players, maybe the top five players in
game
the league.
Breaker.
Yeah, if you're going to buy a ticket, you know, Connor McDavid's in that group now, but those select guys that you would buy a ticket solely based to see Vladdy Tarasenko play, and you haven't seen much of him this series.
You wonder, I mean, a young guy, obviously, with the baby situation, that's altering, but I'm not sure that how well he was playing before the baby arrived. You just wonder, going this deep into the playoffs, how much that impacts on a player. And the intensity level of the games is greater than what you get over those first 82 in a season. And the attention a player like that gets is a lot more severe than you would see over the course of a regular season as well. I mean, the guys he's playing against are getting paid to shut him down.
But he also raised the bar with that showdown, altercation, communication with Ken Hitchcock leaving the bench in the Chicago series. He called out his coach in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you got to answer the bell. There's no question. But he showed emotion, frustration.
Well, selfish emotion, you know. And it was kind of like Hornquist and Crosby when you catch those things, them arguing on the bench. And unless you're in the dressing room, you really don't know the true relationship. So that's a big difference, how it's being received or not. Like if it's been taken the right way, if it's been taken in a selfish way, a self-serving way. And certainly, though, in Tarasenko's case, you know, as a coach and walk it off. And he's just kind of like the age-old thing everyone complains about. Every parent complains about their kid's ice time, whatever level of hockey. So it's incumbent upon him then to prove to the contrary when he's got his chance, and he hasn't so far.
But we've seen some star players have quiet playoffs, statistically, in various series, so it's not a new phenomenon.
But what is also a thing that we've witnessed in the past is this issue with the St. Louis Blues. When they're tied at two, they have game five at home, and they lay an egg. And that's happened, what, for the last 5 years, where you have an opportunity to take a stranglehold in the series, and they can't do it.
And 4-6 at home in their last 10 playoff games. I mean, these are stats I didn't know off the top of my head, but you know, are indicative exactly that about, and that's why they get eliminated a lot of times in the first round, so many first round disappointments, but about the ability, not even to go for the juggler anymore, but close the deal. Close the deal when you've got the momentum and all those things in your favor and, you know, once again, not able to do it. Kind of a different game, though. I thought at one point when they're up 3-2, looked pretty good for them.
Went back and forth.
And then, and Hitchcock said the third San Jose goal was a killer, but, you know, and the last two were empty netters, to put a little bit of context in. It wasn't a whitewash.
Well, and to fall behind so early in the third period, you're chasing the game.
I know, but Tampa Bay came back against Pittsburgh that way. Like, a goal with a second left, a goal in the first, a goal early in the second, down 2-0. And they found a way to do something that, you know, so far, or St. Louis wasn't able to do last night.
But in both series, we've had those moments, and the momentum word comes into it, or disappears, as the case may be, where it looked like one team was taking it over, looked like they're in charge, and then all of a sudden, the other guy just steps up and says, wait a minute, this thing's not over. And we've seen the back and forth in both sides.
This has been San Jose's series, though. Outside of a Game 4 performance by the St. Louis Blues, this has been the Sharks at their best.
The first one as well. Mm-hmm. Kind of a dodgy goal. They gave up to lose it.
And you look at different guys. Joel Ward, once again. Justin Braun getting more ice time than Brent Burns. I mean, we talk about Pollock, Nick Spaulding, as far as everybody finding roles. Tierney gets a goal last night. Yeah, this has been...
Classic chipped in offensively.
Yeah. I mean, the depth-wise... Their Game 7 win against Nationals, what they've kind of built off of. As good a Game 7 as you could play played.
They got over the hump against Los Angeles.
Yeah.
They chased the Demons big time. Looked them right in the eye because they blew the lead and then stepped up and got the job done.
And were a little wonky at times against Nashville, but really put the pedal down in Game 7. Now, one win away from the franchise's first ever appearance
and this is
in
the
NHL's
ever.
Stanley Cup Final. What's the difference between this team rising above it and every other version of the Sharks stumbling?
You know, it's funny. More reading things about, and it goes to the captain changing, you know, the changing of the captain from Joe Thornton to Pavelski. Guys are saying that it used to be a cliquey team. That's what guys were saying. So you'd have
little. Well, if anybody knows about cliques, it's you.
Well, that's right. A clique of one. But I mean, that those intangibles matter big time. Well, all of a sudden you become inclusive and, you know, you can't factor that in enough. So that's what I've heard. Then you go get Paul Martin.
Do you think that's an influx of people from the outside breaking those down?
Yeah. Joel Ward and the guys on the inside realizing. I mean, there's a lot of variables.
Paul Martin.
Paul Martin, a real underrated guy that way. Getting solid goaltending. The LA King, you know, it's the margin of difference is so slight in those playoff series.
They weren't losing the bad teams.
Yeah, too often it's gone against them. So we can overthink it a bit. I'm going using the context that what I've read from some of the players saying that they felt there's been a whole idea, all for one, one for all, whatever. So that would be I would view that as another positive element.
And maybe less reliant on that one group of players. Every year the focus was on Marlowe and Thornton, and if they didn't produce, then that team
stumbled. Well, you haven't even heard Marlowe's name.
No, because they're not reliant. He's doing other things for them. But, I mean, Jumbo Joe Thornton is just unbelievable. And you talk to people that have watched him over the years and said, this is the way he's always played. He just didn't have the W's to go with the performances. And, I mean, he's just been fabulous to watch. The playmaking ability, and one of those goals with Pavelski last night where you watched him and he was on the side at the boards, his hash mark, and how he read the play in the opposite corner to go down low, get the puck behind the net. He offers support there. He gets an outlet for them.
Sent a rolling puck out to the middle.
But sent it out. A lot of people thought he'd come out and do the wraparound. Instead, he feeds him in the slot coming in. And
with that much room, he probably should come out.
He could have. He had options. There's no doubt about it. And Pavelski has just been, the chemistry between those two is quite amazing.
Seventh round pick. You know, you start looking at a lot of those, you know, kind of like what Tampa Bay Lightning have done, that Joe Thornton went number one overall to Boston, but Pavelski's seventh round pick, and a lot of those types of players. So,
and Couture's been real good. You know, yeah. Just more depth up front. Donskoy.
There's another one. So he's the best player, right? Joe Thornton, I think, is the best player not to be, current active player not to be, have been in a Stanley Cup final. I mean, I put him ahead of
Ovechkin?
Guys like, because of longevity, I put him ahead of Ovechkin. Oh. You know, that's just, so, I mean, he's a little bit of the mini Ray Bourque or the Mike Modano or the whomever, you know, you kind of secretly pull for, or not secretly, pull for, because from all accounts, great guy, fun guy, good person, someone you cheer for, and just has had far too many playoff disappointments.
San Jose will try to close it out tomorrow night at home. If there is a team that should saddle up beside Bill Daly or Mr. Gregory, whoever presents the Clarence Campbell Bowl tomorrow night.
To not embrace it?
No, they need to.
Oh, embrace it big
time.
They
need to enjoy that moment with that trophy. There should be no, we're too cool for this. Our ultimate goal remains. They need to saddle up beside that. I'm not saying carry it around the ice, but maybe
put your hand on it.
A Trevor Linden moment where he held it up in Vancouver.
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, you've stumbled too many times. This is as deep as
you've
ever gotten.
This
three
one.
Wins into this round. They've never done that. And if they do win it, you've got to celebrate.
You've
that
pushed aside enough hockey gods this year.
Yeah.
They're not coming back at you for touching that silverware.
You know, it's funny because Glenn Healy always kids that Nick Kiprios handled that trophy like the Stanley Cup when the Rangers won it in 94. I don't know if that part's true, but
with the Prince of Wales trophy?
Yeah. But Bill Daly was, when he was on with us, like, you know, because he's one of the guys presenting. And it's like you're the last person in the world somebody wants to see as you skate over to get this great award.
You're talking about your high school reunion again?
No. But he was saying, like, there's no logic behind the bad luck, the curse, that guys have picked it up and held or got pictures and won the Stanley Cup.
Well, like, Pittsburgh was the one where they didn't touch it and lost. They did touch it and they win.
So I don't know where this thing lives in perpetuity about it, because the game's got such great trophies. The trophies are phenomenal, all the individual trophies. So
I can see it if you're Chicago and you've won three in 6 years and you're going for a fourth and you're like, okay.
But it's part of the process.
You don't have to make
a baseball celebration out of it when you win round by round, which is goofy.
I can see certain places where it does fit, where you're like, okay, that's not what we're after. But the Sharks, they're totally
different.
But it is
what you're after, because if you don't win that, you can't win the other one. Mm-hmm. So don't reject it. You don't have to have a crazy celebration.
It's the franchise's first ever conference title.
Say thank you very much and put it down.
Even if you've won it
three, four times.
If the Sharks happen to win the Western Conference and come up short in the Stanley Cup Final, that
St. picture, Louis should pick it up too.
That picture is still going to be up on the wall or in the rink or wherever it's going to be. Make it a moment, not we're focused on something else. Anyway, don't want to get too
I think
far
everybody
gone.
should celebrate that trophy on both sides, because it's part, as I said, you don't win that, you don't get to win the next one.
And also, so since it's
no shame in winning it.
It sounds like Morrison didn't get a lot of trophies as a kid. Doesn't it, is that wrong? What's coming well, through here?
No, I got those participant badges.
I just say, yeah. He did the shuttle.
Everybody
run
wins,
that.
Remember?
Yeah.
San Jose and St. Louis. How good has Martin Jones been?
Good enough. I don't think a lot of nights he's been spectacular, but he's been very steady behind a very solid defensive team.
Well, when San Jose got upset in previous playoffs, they saw a Jonathan Quick who was a story, you know, and no goaltender right now is the story of the playoffs. Brian Elliott might have been in the first round. So all eight have played in this round, so it kind of shows that that's kind of the bar. Martin Jones is as good as any other goaltender has been in the playoffs. And that is good enough to help you win the cup, but it's not good enough to steal games so far. So all you want is just good enough.
Yeah, I don't think there's been a goalie win, per se.
Not for a bit. I mean, maybe early on in that first round, but not for a bit. It hasn't been like, you know, that as they say, that Jonathan Quick or someone like that.
Trevor tweeting in to at Darren Millard, Morrison, Sportsnet, and Gord Stellick. What are the odds that Thornton plays in the World Cup?
That's an interesting name coming up. Of course, won a gold with Canada. Again, you have to look. We're going to get the lineups announced, right? The roster announced
later on this week.
27th.
Tentatively scheduled. Depends on the game
squeeze?
7, maybe.
Right.
I don't know.
Who's he going to squeeze out? You have to look at the 7. Like, who's he going to squeeze out? That's what I'm wondering as much as anything. It's certainly going to help his profile, no question about it.
Sorry, you were supposed to continue talking while I communicated.
Oh, I didn't know. I was interested in your chat with Matt about the goaltender.
I was trying to communicate
trying
with
to
him.
Eavesdrop in your private conversation.
No, but I
will let you in on the conversation as soon as we get his mic turned on.
I thought you were
on.
Trying to get the net list of the 7 other guys or who he's competing with.
I thought
exactly.
Ed McMahon's supposed to be on camera now with his little microphone.
He
over
is
there.
with his desk.
It's more Freddie DeCorvita.
Two stools taped together. Do you have any updates? Anything you can tell us about the Eastern Conference Final, which could conclude tonight?
Nothing definitive yet. Matt Murray was in the visitor's net and the first goalie off, which is a good indication he will start. But Mike Sullivan hasn't talked yet.
Okay, we'll bring you Mike Sullivan's press conference, at least the Coles Notes version of that, as the Pittsburgh Penguins face a difficult decision in goal. Matt Murray was in the visitor's net. Everything points towards the rookie getting the start in goal. Is that the right decision for your team now and your organization as a whole?
I'm lost with that decision. You know, I am. I would go with Matt Murray. I believe it's the right decision. But again, talking to people Pittsburgh way, their thinking was once you turned it over to Marc-Andre Fleury, you turned it over to Marc-Andre Fleury. And in some ways, what, his first game in 53 days except for that mop-up period, you were going to take some pain for some gain. So you took the pain. So, but I would go with Murray. But I know lots of people think it's going to be Fleury.
It's a tough one. I understand why they made the change, because if you go back and you look at it, and not that Murray suddenly got bad or that, you know, the 4 goals in the game that he got pulled was his fault. But that was a score that allowed you put Fleury in and feel comfortable about making that decision. You're not embarrassing the kid in any way, and allows him to get a little bit of activity. And, you know, somebody had said to me, if you think back to during the season and then maybe...
Just want to interrupt here.
Yep.
Sullivan has just come out and said that Matt Murray is starting.
Well, I agree 100%. Good decision. But going in that, you know, if you're going to win a Stanley Cup, Fleury was going to be a part of it at some point. And the numbers, you know, Murray's numbers were starting to creep up a little bit, and the save percentage was going down a little bit from the end of the last round, start of this round. So maybe a feeling that he was starting to hit a wall, shaking it up was not a bad idea. But
was Fleury that bad that you go back to Murray?
No, but he didn't look that good.
Well, that answers the question.
And he didn't sound that good after. Like, he just, you know, I think he just being very candid and stream
of
consciousness.
I wasn't great.
But, you know, I haven't played for a long time, didn't feel comfortable, lots of things. So you're kind of going, well, okay, this is the playoffs, though. Is it a one-off or, you know, something? Let's take what you say, keep it in the bank, and let's go back to what we've been doing.
Now, you asked if it's best for the organization, yes. Where are you going I with really that? Who's the future goalie?
Marc-Andre Fleury's your franchise goalie.
Who's your future goalie?
Matt Murray.
So? I'm just, you know, so Marc-Andre Fleury, is this
If you're going down this path, I think you're passing the baton right now.
Well, maybe you are.
Yeah, I agree.
But also, do you think, but Marc-Andre
Fleury. What kind of answer was that? The inflection was that? That was total playground inflection.
What's that?
Maybe you are. That was Army Boots talk right there.
I know you are, but what am I?
That's exactly what that inflection was.
No, I'm just mean Marc-Andre Fleury. First, would his nose get out of joint? And then secondly, who cares if anyone's nose gets out of joint at this point? You've got to make the, I always love John.
No time for sentiment and hurt feelings.
I like John Gibbons' line when he pulled R.A. Dickey quickly in the playoffs and someone asked, he goes, well, it wasn't exactly a relation building move, right? Yes. And he was honest about it. So in the playoffs, you do things that aren't exactly relationship building moves. So whatever you do, then you got a very highly priced backup goalie or co-number one goalie in Marc-Andre Fleury.
On the other side of this opportunity tonight for the Pittsburgh Penguins to extend the series is the Tampa Bay Lightning organization to go to back-to-back Stanley Cup finals, which is very rare. And they're doing it in the most untraditional fashion.
How so?
They don't have their number one goaltender. Mm-hmm. They don't have their captain and purest goal scorer. They played the first part of these playoffs without their second best defenseman.
Okay, they're hurt by injuries, to say the least, but they're killing with depth. And last year it was kind of underrated depth. Now we know about it. You're not surprised about Kucherov or Tyler Johnson or all those kind of guys that just seem
you're not
like,
surprised that they're a game away from the Stanley Cup final with what they've had to deal with?
Shouldn't be because of what they did last year. You know, Stamkos, you miss him big time, but they showed last year he was kind of on their second line. That's what was even more amazing. So you're thinking if they're going to get anywhere, it would be Steven Stamkos and excellent goaltending. Instead, it was 18 guys, you know, that made a difference.
Well, and you're seeing, too, that you don't have a sharp drop-off from number one to number two in goal. He's been outstanding. And, yeah, to Gordy's point, it's the depth, and, you have a Drouin step up who comes from nowhere.
Stamkos has points and goal totals from last year in the Stanley Cup playoffs, producer Matt.
You see guys like Killorn step up. And so you're just different heroes every night. Jason Garrison with overtime goals. And we're seeing how outstanding Hedman is on the defense. We knew it. We've seen the emergence in these last couple of
their faith
seasons
in Vasilevsky,
but he's a crazy good.
Their faith in Vasilevsky last year in that Stanley Cup final was so minimal that they played Ben Bishop on one leg.
Mm-hmm.
And now he stepped in, and there's a 75-shot difference in this series in favor of Pittsburgh, and it's Tampa Bay that has the opportunity to advance.
Well, the other part, Pittsburgh had never lost 46-0-0 when they're leading after two periods of play, and they lose to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay comes back from that 2-0 deficit in Pittsburgh, wins a game. I mean, that to me just shows about whatever you want to call it. Teams that are the better teams don't blow those kind of leaks. And the Tampa Bay Lightning are the team that, you know, Scott just capitalized on it that way. And, Vasilevsky's another one when he had that little bit of a tantrum at the end of the game. But obviously from last year to this year, well, maybe that's all they had because Bishop's hurt, but a bit more of an appreciation of what he can do.
And they're grinding players. The Callahans, the Boyles have come in and played really well for them. So they're rolling. As Gordy said it, it's the depth that's made the difference.
So how do you look at John Cooper then? Because he's a coach that has, you're either on one side or the other with this guy, with the way that John Cooper has handled Steven Stamkos. And Stamkos last year had 7 goals and 18 points in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Good numbers. But still, where were they playing him? He wasn't at center all the time. He was on the second line. Now they don't have him at all. So is John Cooper, in your mind, increase his portfolio even more, or is he still just what you'd expect out of a National Hockey League coach?
Well, talk about relationship building. He's not afraid to do what he needs to do to win. And let the relationship sort itself out. But yeah, I mean, you said it right off the top. You still don't have your number one goalie. And even if there isn't a huge drop off at this point, that still can affect the psyche of a team, losing a player like that, especially the way he went out. And you don't have Stamkos, who's still an important part of it, even if you do drop him down to the second line, and he is your captain, and he is regarded and respected in that dressing room. And, you know, you had the hole on the blue line with Strawman, who'd played so very well. So to overcome all of that and then some of the in-game battles, yeah, I think his stock has risen.
I you know, he seems to have a remarkable feel for his team, which is what you're supposed to have. I think part of that, having been in the organization before, was a plus, coaching those guys to a Calder Cup championship. But, you know, a lot of guys, you got to get along with your best player. And he's proven, not that he didn't get along with the best player, but the team comes first. And if they're having a terrible year this year, and Steven Stamkos becomes a UFA, and his biggest reason is because he didn't like the way the coach was handling him, that's a pretty big loss. That's as big a loss as there's been in unrestricted free agency. And if it was because of that reason, then overall you'd have to say that's not a success, because keeping your best player in the fold is part of the goal of a modern-day head coach. And
he was given a contract extension in the midst of all this by his general manager, so they were clearly on the same page.
The Stamkos thing could get a little murkier with the Tampa Bay Lightning. It has through the course of this playoff run by the Tampa Bay Lightning without their captain. When we continue, we will check in with a world champion just back from Russia, a member of Team Canada. Mark Scheifele will stop by. Talk about what happened with Team Canada, but also the player that he watched in the championship game, Patrick Laine. We'll ask him the question if he paid any extra attention to him, knowing that there's a good chance they could be teammates next year. Plus, also touch base with the MasterCard Memorial Cup. It's Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, the Sportsnet app, and the NHL Network.
Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Going to hook up with Mark Scheifele, just back from the World Championships, as Team Canada repeats as gold medalists, winning in Moscow. Oh, just some news as Darren Millard brings you Hockey Central with Gord Stellick and Scott Morrison. Some World Cup news. Jaromír Jágr has declined an offer from the Czech Republic general manager, Martin Rutschinski. We spoke to each other during the weekend, said Martin, and his final decision was that he would not be going. It'd be too difficult for him to get ready for such an important tournament during the summer. He said at last year's World Championship that he was done with the national team, and he's also looking ahead to doing some work with Kladno, the Czech team that Jágr owns. So Jaromír Jágr, I don't think it's a big surprise, but that Czech team is certainly a squad that could use somebody of not only his stature, but the way he's playing right now, because of the eight teams, the Czech team's regarded as probably the eighth best team.
He looked tired in the playoffs. You know, he hadn't scored, one goal in 35 games or so. So, I mean, the guy is superhuman, but he's human. So you're right, they could use him, but I think he's smart to look at the 365-day calendar and hoping that better things for the Florida Panthers to go deeper in the future.
Here is Mark Scheifele, a member of Team Canada. Are you back home or are you touring Europe? Some guys take the opportunity to go on a sightseeing trip.
No, I'm back home. I'm headed to California for a week. A week off with my girlfriend for, leaving tomorrow. So home for a few days and then, try to get a little bit of sun in me.
Boy, a quick turnaround. We appreciate you taking the time. So what was that that entire experience? You represented Team Canada, the World Juniors. What was the experience coming out on top at the World Championships, especially given the fact that it's in Moscow in Russia?
It was unbelievable. First off, the guys that we had on the team and the management, and the coaching staff we had was unreal. They treated us so well. All the guys were unbelievable guys, and that made it fun right from the start. And then obviously to end up winning it and winning a gold medal with those guys that you spent a month with each and every day, it made it very special. And it was an honor to be there, and then even better feeling to win it all.
What about, quick turnaround when you get one loss and you can get out? What did you learn from the regular game against Finland that you never looked back after that, that it seemed like the team really found its groove and was the best team?
Well, yeah, we knew in that first Finland game, you know, we didn't play our best. We made mistakes. You know, we weren't ourselves, and that's why we lost. And you know, we didn't dwell on it too long. We knew we made our mistakes. We didn't play our best, but we went over the game and then got ready for a game against Sweden and had our game plan and then went from there and then had a tough game against US and then we were ready for the Finns again and we were happy to come out on top in the second game against them.
There's a kid on that Finnish team who may be a teammate come next season. What's the scouting report on Laine from standing across from him?
He's pretty unbelievable. He's obviously young and you know, said sometimes you can tell that, but you know, his skill level, his shot is outrageous. He skates well. You know, he's gonna be a very special player. And I know if we end up getting him, he'll definitely be a huge improvement to our team, and he'll fit in well for sure.
So I don't know whether you where were you when the draft lottery took place? Were you overseas already?
Yeah, we were overseas. We were in Prague at the time, actually.
So then that happens, and you end up with the number two pick. Did you pay extra attention at all to Patrick Laine and his performance throughout the World Championship, knowing that that he could be part of your club team, as they call it in Europe?
Yeah, for sure. We obviously every chance I could get at watching them play and watching him play, especially you know, I definitely paid a little attention to him. See, kind of saw what. You know, his tendencies and what he does well, what he can improve on. So he's going to be a special player.
Would he fit with you as a winger?
I think so. I like to think everyone could fit with me, but he definitely is. He's definitely a good shooter, and you know, he also sees the ice really well, and that's something that I think some people might overlook on him is that the passing ability. You know, I know there's a pass he had against the. I think it was against the Russians.
Yes.
I'm not sure exactly what game it was, but it was an unbelievable pass. And you can see that he does see the ice well, and he reads the play really well. And I think that's something that might be a little underrated in this game. So, you know, he would definitely be an exciting guy to play with.
Mark, you're going to, with Mark Scheifele, the Winnipeg Jets, Team Canada world champion, you're going to have to talk to Kevin Chevalier, Craig Heisinger. You've done a good little scouting report here.
I like to think that's something that I like to do. I like to watch guys and kind of, you know, hot stove with guys and see what they think of a player, what I think of a player. It's kind of a cool thing to do, you know, when you watch hockey. And, you know, I like to think I could make a good GM one day.
So if you're in the scouts room and you happen to have the number one overall pick and they're saying we have these two guys, the other one being Austin Matthews, and you played against them to watch them, what opinions do you offer about what similarities or differences they bring?
They're definitely very different players. Obviously with Austin being a centerman, it's definitely a totally different spectrum when you watch that. He plays a game totally different than Laine. Laine is a little, you know, he's a little bit more of a sniper. You know, reads the ice really well, reads how the game's going, and finds those little spots where he just is able to get a shot off quick or gets to the net really easily. And he has an unbelievable set of hands on him as well. But then you see a player like Matthews, and you know, he plays such a solid game. You know, he reminds me a little bit of Getzlaff, the way he skates up the ice. You know, he's tall, he's upright, he moves the puck well, he's very flowy in his game. But also then he gets in deep and he's able to grind with the best of him. He's a big body, and you know, he's definitely gonna be a very good center in the NHL for sure.
On the heels of playing in this tournament, is playing in the World Cup on your wish list, and have you heard anything?
I have not heard anything, but it's definitely on my wish list. It's something that I've had on my mind, you know, all year, you know, wanting to make that team. So I know that announcement's coming up soon. So hopefully I get a call for it. That's definitely it's definitely on my wish list, and I really hope to make that team.
Mark Scheifele's chatting with us. So nobody's reached out and told you you're on the watch list, that you're close, that you're in consideration, anything like that?
No, I haven't heard anything.
It's coming up later on this week. I just got a word of caution to you. Corey Perry, you know, I mean, I'm sure you got a chance to bond with him a little
yeah.
bit. You know he's going to try and take your head off the first chance he gets next year, right? Like, don't get suckered into that. He's your captain. You won a world championship together, and you walk forever, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I know. He's a competitor, and that's exactly why he was our captain. He's an unbelievable leader, and he showed why he's won at every single level he's played at, because you know that's just the player he is. He's a competitor, and he will do anything to win.
Two more things, though. Where's the gold medal go?
Not sure. Not sure yet. I'm sure I'll think of something.
Sure. And what's on the docket for the California trip? Any surfing?
No, not for me. I think my girlfriend wants to surf, but I'm definitely not going to be doing that. Try to get a few golf games in, soak up some rays. That's the plan right now.
Any contract updates?
I have nothing to report. I just got back from Russia last night, so I think I'll take a little break from hockey right now and just enjoy it and enjoy some time with my family and friends.
We don't pay as well as the National Hockey League, but I can tell you from your breakdown of Austin Matthews and Patrick Laine, you can come in and work on the panel anytime. Thanks for this, Mark.
Okay, thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Okay, thank you.
Mark Scheifele on Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, the Sportsnet app, and the NHL Network in the United States.
He's not coming in here. He's going to be a general manager. Yeah. He declared that.
That's pretty cool.
I think it's outstanding.
Yeah, but he'll get fired and then come in here.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so he's just going to be a little bit of time. You kidding? This is the stomping.
Our other ex-general manager be ready to leave by then.
You know what?
This one or
oh, they're everywhere.
McLean.
They're all over. They're all over. McLean. I love talking to players that are great students of the game. Eddie Olchuk was one of the best, in all seriousness, he had the satellite dish. He had a better setup at his house than we had at Maple Leaf Gardens as far as the satellite dish went.
Not surprising.
Hard to believe, yeah. But you had the rabbit ears, and that was a little bit tough.
Black and white.
But I do, and it's funny, a lot of them. And I remember Jim Benning used to sit and watch the junior practice all the time. He'd have his Portland Winterhawks leather jacket. He was 18 years old. And he would stay every afternoon and watch the Toronto Marlies junior team practice there. Like, just funny, and see where they evolved on the management side and on the broadcasting side. Because it's not something, a lot of guys do it too late. They start becoming students of the game and later. And the ones who put the work in, and I'll give Kipper and Healy big credit with that. Put the work in that way before it pays off dividends down the road. And obviously, Scheifele loves to talk about this stuff.
Mark Scheifele is a world champion, going to get some R&R in California with his girlfriend, and probably catch some of the MasterCard Memorial Cup, which you can watch on the NHL Network in the United States. Rouyn-Noranda, top-ranked team in the Canadian Hockey League, takes on the top team at the MasterCard Memorial Cup, the London Knights, tonight, 10 o'clock, Sportsnet 360, the NHL Network. Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay, 8 o'clock on CBC. This is Game 6, the Lightning trying to move on. They have a 3-2 series lead. MasterCard is raising $100,000 for Fort McMurray, gentlemen. It's a goal that everyone can feel good about. Give today, and MasterCard will match any donation made at redcross.ca/MasterCard. Donate at redcross.ca/MasterCard. The London Globetrotters, coming off a 9-1 win over the Brandon Wheat Kings last night. They won 6-2 to start this tournament. There was some debate as to who was the best team coming into this event. Brandon had won the Western League for the first time in 20 years. Rouyn-Noranda, number one ranked team in the league. And then you had this firepower of the London Knights. And there's separation there now.
Well, there's separation, but also the good news is it's one game, right, when it comes down to the final. So there's no question there's big-time separation as far as they played. And also having all that power on one line, like, wow, that's...
But the
like,
second line's getting it done,
I know. So you start thinking of all-time, never mind great players, but real great lines that were together. And, of course, we talk about Brandon had that 1 year ago. But, yeah, their separation right now, that's very impressive.
So you came in to own it.
Yes.
Ignoring your child.
Yes. No, I didn't ignore her. I just rushed her through our appointment at the emergency clinic. Like, it's a cracked toe. You're going to school. Here's some crutches.
Shake it off. Walk it off.
I tried walking it off last night.
So if you're going to own it, explain it.
I can't explain it. The Brandon Wheat Kings haven't been near as good as they were during the regular season and the playoffs. They got off to a slow start in the regular season. They got off to a slow start in the playoffs, lost the first two games, and then rolled and got off to a slow start again in this tournament. I thought it was there for them against Rouyn-Noranda, and it fell back. Last night was a perplexing one.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody loses in the Memorial Cup like 9-1. It just doesn't happen. Unfortunately, going back to 2010, we've done it a couple of times. I'm not going to run away from it. I'm still faith. But I wore one sweater.
So now they got to run the table.
Got to run the table. Got to win Wednesday. If they beat Red Deer on Wednesday, they're in a tiebreaker, likely against Red Deer. Then they have to win the tiebreaker Thursday, the semifinal Friday, and the championship game on Sunday. Now, if London wins tonight, I know this is a lot. London wins tonight. They're off until Sunday. So there's a couple of things at work there. I'm disappointed, okay? But I'm not wavering. I'm not abandoning my team. But I did wear a sweater for the first game. I wore a different sweater last night. I'm running out of Wee King jerseys, okay?
So maybe it's the karma because your buddy...
You got to find the lucky one.
Because your buddy McCrimmon phoned too late to get on that time.
Well, he was running practice.
I know. You said like...
It wasn't like... Can you jump in here, Producer Matt?
Yeah.
I know. Like, you guys just jump all over Kelly, and sorry that he was doing his job.
No, but Darren appropriately said he should have been on here first. Never mind coaching the team. He needs Darren and the karma and the luck of the Brandon guys.
So it's Darren's fault.
You know what I will say? I'm impartial. You cheer for... In this role, I don't know whether you guys are the same or not. You end up cheering for people.
Oh, absolutely.
More than teams.
Absolutely, for sure.
Like I have an affection for the Winnipeg Jets because of some ties that go back. Cheval Dayoff and Craig Heisinger and Mark Chipman, along with the fact that they're from Manitoba. But you cheer... Jared Stoll, buddy. Like there's a few guys, Scotty Hartnell, Scotty Upshaw.
Yeah.
But being a fan again, like I am in this tournament, I see why. I mean, you experience that other side. It's not a lot of fun when things aren't going your way
on the roller coaster.
It wasn't a lot of fun.
And the cheering part from the media perspective is you cheer for the city,
yes,
the best city, and the best stories. Maybe not in that order.
But it's neat to, you know,
and quick. Yeah, that's always quick. Whoever wins game one of the Stanley Cup final, if you're kind of equal, that's your team.
That's your new favorite team.
But it's
game
hard,
one winner.
It's hard to be a fan nowadays.
It is.
So that's good. I mean, I became a fan of the Blue Jays again, like I always was. But I really got caught up in it because I don't cover it. And then you get, I'm disappointed that I'm not a good fan anymore.
So Sam and RJ, we're all buddies with Sam and RJ. They're calling the game, the panel, and Jeff comes on and he says, "I'm like, no, Jeff. Jeff's one of my best buddies in the business. I'm like, no, you're. And I'm getting mad at Jeff and I'm mad at RJ and Sam. And I understand why these Ottawa fans don't like this broadcast group because they think they're against them. And it's something I haven't experienced in a long time.
I think we have to get you to a therapist.
No, it's not. That's what. You got thousands of people out there. That's what they are.
That's the beauty of it, chatting. We get desensitized to it, mm-hmm. I think, sitting on this side of it.
Well, absolutely.
I think it's been good for me, but it hasn't been enjoyable for me.
Does your family sit with you when you're doing this?
Girls went to bed last night, and after the first period, I went out to the backyard, took the guitar, and just tried to strum my way back into a peaceful...
A zen-like existence.
Okay, now that's...
No.
That's
here's,
weird.
No, but
that's
here's
weird.
The thing. Here's the thing. I back onto a school, and I swear, next year, I'm getting 5 vehicles, and I'm parking them in that schoolyard, and they're not going to let off 2 hours of fireworks. So I'm trying to find my happy place in the backyard with the guitar, and it's like Expo 86 all over again with fireworks all over the place.
Well, how do you think your neighbors felt listening to you play the guitar?
As if the fireworks weren't bad enough. They probably thought
Touché.
You orchestrated that.
Touché.
So who wins tonight?
What do you think happens?
I say
Are you going to bet against Malkin, Kessel, Crosby, Letang?
I think there's a game 7.
I think there's a game 7 as well.
And then flip the coin.
You're a total follower.
Well, what about you? You're going to be contrarian?
Yes, Tampa Bay wins.
Okay, I agree with you too.
although it does ruin I really was looking forward to Phil Kessel winning the Conn Smythe Trophy.
He still might.
Well, he's got to win tonight.
Sorry, I picked Tampa Bay. Never mind.
All right, thanks to Mark Scheifele.
Go back to being
another
a fan.
One of those great interviews where you go, You learn something about a guy. Scheifele wants to be a general manager. We'll have to wait as we get through the conference final.